Okay. Well, thank you very much to the organizers for allowing me to speak at this great event. And I feel maybe we should have a round of applause for the technician for making sure that this is actually working. So. Okay. Good. So I'm going to tell you about something called Co-Higgs bundles, which I guess fall. Can everyone hear me? Yeah? Okay. Which falls in the realm of generalized geometry, but there are connections to other things as well. There won't be a lot of details in this talk. It's more an advertisement for these objects. So let's start. Okay. Ah, good. Okay. So we're sort of ending the conference where we began with what is a generalized complex structure. So a generalized complex structure is on a two-n dimensional, real two-n dimensional manifold is a real rank 4n subbundle of the complexified T plus T star. So we'll call this subbundle E10. So as you've heard before, E10 needs to be isotrophic with respect to the standard pairing on T plus T star. It plus its complex conjugate spans all of T plus T star, and has to be E10's sections, smooth sections, are closed under the Courant bracket, which you've seen defined. Now, in particular, an ordinary complex structure is when E10 is T star plus plus T bar. And here, now, I mean the holomorphic tangent bundle and cotangent bundle. And then it's, so we'll call its complex conjugate E01. So that's T star bar plus T. Okay, and then the D bar operator, you can get that by saying it's the E01 component of D of a function. Okay? All right, so what I'm interested in are generalized holomorphic bundles. So these were defined by Marco. So it's a pair of a smooth vector bundle, say V, and an operator D bar, big D bar, on its space of smooth sections, but it's twisted. It takes values in E01. Okay, and so if we have a product of a function and a section, we have a section of V, we have the Leibniz rule, and it also has to satisfy D bar squared, big D bar squared is equal to zero. Now, when we have an ordinary complex structure, I told you that E01 is T star bar plus T. So that means that big D bar splits into two operators, if you like. D bar A, which takes values in the T bar star part, and phi, which takes values in T. Okay, and then the condition D bar, big D bar squared is equal to zero, manifests itself as three conditions. The first is that T star bar valued operator, its square is equal to zero. So we're just saying here that V is a holomorphic bundle. This is Malgrange's characterization of a holomorphic bundle. And then D bar A phi is equal to zero. So we're just saying that phi is holomorphic. And then we have this thing. The third condition is phi wedge phi is equal to zero. So this tangent bundle valued thing, its wedge with itself is zero. Okay, so this is what a generalized holomorphic bundle on an ordinary complex manifold is. So in particular, it's not just a holomorphic bundle. Okay, so it's a holomorphic bundle V together with this map, holomorphic map from V to itself, twisted by the holomorphic tangent bundle, satisfying this integrability condition. So this looks awfully like a Higgs bundle in the sense of Hitchin, together with this phi wedge phi equals zero condition, which is perhaps first posed by Simpson for ordinary Higgs bundles. But so the difference here is that instead of the Higgs bundle taking values in T star, it takes values in T. Okay, and so this is perhaps what we will call a co-Higgs bundle. Okay, and so when I was first introduced to the problem of studying them, Nigel Hitchin had said, so what should we call these things? And I was thinking about them on curves, where they take values in the anti-canonical line bundle, that's the tangent bundle. So I said, well, anti-Higgs bundle. And he mulled it over and he said, well, I don't know if we want to be seen as anti-anyone, really. So I think we'll, this is more friendly, anyway. Okay. All right, so there are some other places where co-Higgs bundles come up. So here's sort of a trivial observation. If you have a co-Higgs field phi, it gives you an action on sections of V by functions, so defined like this. Phi eats the one form associated to a function, gives you an endomorphism, and that acts on S, okay? And then you can define a Poisson bracket like this, and then phi wedge phi equals 0 just says that this this bracket vanishes. And so a co-Higgs structure on a bundle is equivalent to saying that the bundle is a Poisson module for the zero Poisson structure. Okay, but then maybe something a little bit less trivial is that suppose I have a rank 2 vector bundle on any complex manifold, then a T-valued, so tangent bundle-valued Higgs field on V is a bivector on the P1 bundle associated to V. And if this T Higgs field is a co-Higgs field, if it satisfies the integrability condition, then this is actually a Poisson structure on the n plus 1 dimensional manifold, which is the P1 bundle. And this is an observation due to Polishchuk. The reason I mention this is maybe to say that even rank 2 co-Higgs bundles are interesting. And so it would be good to have examples of those. And so that's pretty much the point of this talk. Now, I'm mainly interested in what are called, and what would be called stable co-Higgs bundles. I'm not going to bang on about this too much. I'll just tell you what it means because I'll be looking for these kinds of examples. I mean, there's a big picture reason, obviously, for introducing stability. One wants, when you consider families, when you consider a moduli space, you want it to be Hausdorff, so you consider only the stable ones. Okay, so stable is a notion that gives you that. But there's also a little picture reasons why you might want to consider them, which I'll exploit along the way. But just to remind you, a vector bundle is stable if it's torsion-free subsheaves, which in many cases you can replace by sub-bundles, have degree over rank strictly less than that of the bundle itself. And then the definition is almost the same for a co-Higgs bundle, except you only look at the subsheaves that are invariant under the action of the Higgs field. But then if you have a stable vector bundle, then of course it's stable as a co-Higgs bundle for any co-Higgs field. Okay. Now on curves, I'm not going to say too much about this, but the tangent bundle here is of course the anti-canonical line bundle. And of course the phi wedge phi condition is trivial. Now if the genus of the curve is larger than 1, then we can always contract the Higgs field into an endomorphism by multiplying it by a section of the canonical line bundle. And then this endomorphism commutes with the original Higgs field. And one consequence of stability here is that if you have an endomorphism that commutes with the Higgs field, then the Higgs field, must be a multiple of the identity. But of course, S is a non-zero section of the canonical line bundle. It's not constant, so that means that phi must be zero. So a co-Higgs bundle, then, in a curve of genus larger than 1, is just a vector bundle with the zero Higgs field. Or if you like, a generalized holomorphic bundle is really, really just a holomorphic bundle in those cases. And on elliptic curves, co-Higgs fields and Higgs fields are the same thing, and they're just endomorphisms. P1 is where anything interesting happens. So here you actually have a large family of non-trivial Higgs bundles for any choice of numerical invariance, the rank and the degree. And there's a moduli space constructed using GIT techniques by Nitsure. Let me just say, because this will motivate higher dimensional things, that so the moduli space of co-Higgs bundles on P1 comes with what's called a Hitchin map. So this just takes a Higgs bundle, sends it to the characteristic polynomial of its Higgs field. Okay, so the characteristic polynomial lives in some affine space, okay, which is basically a direct sum of tensor powers of the anti-canonical line bundle. Now, part of this picture is that suppose I take the total space now, the surface that you get from the anti-canonical line bundle, and then suppose I pull back the anti-canonical line bundle to its own total space. So this gives you a tautological section, and this is what you can use to actually write down the characteristic equation for phi. And if you solve this, okay, these points live in the total space of this line bundle, and what you get is an R to 1 cover of P1. If I look over a point of P1, what are these R points? They're the eigenvalues of phi restricted to that point acting on the fiber of that point. Of course, there are places where you have eigenvalues coming together. So there's branching. And then the eigenspaces of phi will give you a line bundle on this cover, on Y. OK, and then you recover V and phi by pushing down L and this tautological section, where now I'm interpreting it as a map on L that takes L and gives it values in the pullback of the anti-canonical bundle. So I push these two things down, and I get back my Higgs bundle. And so really, the fiber of the Hitchin map is basically the Jacobian for some degree of this spectral curve, this cover. And then since there's a dynamical bent to this conference, let me just say that the B field from generalized geometry, so here this would be a section of the H1 of the canonical line bundle, which is H1 of O minus 2, which is C. This acts, of course, it acts on the bundle, okay, deforms the bundle, but you can think of it as acting on the line bundle upstairs. What it does is generates a linear flow on the Jacobian. Okay, so it's changing the line bundle, so then it's changing the direct image downstairs. It's changing the Higgs bundle you get downstairs. And what it is that downstairs, what's happening is governed by Nam's equations. You get Nam's equations for three R by R matrices, which are the coefficients of the Higgs field. Okay, so the Higgs field is a matrix-valued section of O2, because the anti-canonical line bundle is O2. So more on this is in a paper of Hitchin from 2010 called Generalized Holomorphic Bundles and the B-Field Action. Okay, but so what I really want to talk about is what happens on surfaces. So what I want to do is just, the reason I mentioned the spectral business is just to sort of reverse engineer it. Instead of starting with a Co-Higgs bundle and seeing what spectral data you get, start with a cover. Okay, so embedded in the total space of the tangent bundle, start with a cover of the surface you're interested in, and then see what Co-Higgs bundles you get by pushing down line bundles. So, and also another hint to take from curves is maybe we should start with P2. We should start at the lower end of the rational end of the Kodaira spectrum, because it seems that Co-Higgs bundles on curves are concentrated at lowest possible genus. Okay, so here's an example. We could take P1 cross P1, which is a double, can be realized as a double cover of P2. For instance, we could take this as the covering map, and it's branched over a non-degenerate conic, so a section of O2 on P2. Okay, and then pick a line bundle. It inherits a degree from each of the rulings. So pick a line bundle on P1 cross P1. It gets a degree from each P1. And take its direct image. That's a rank 2 vector bundle on P2. In fact, this is a really old thing. I mean, it's nothing really special. In fact, the first indecomposable vector bundles on any surface were sort of constructed in this way. It was Schwarzenberger's thesis problem given to him by Atiyah in the 50s, and the paper is from 1960. So the push forward of the bundle zero with degree zero R is what we'll call the Arth Schwarzenberger bundle. So, and then just some properties. No two are isomorphic unless R and R prime are the same. V0 and V1 are okay. These are the decomposable ones, and they cover all the extensions of all the rank 2 extensions on P2 modulo. So for degree modulo r equal to 2. I mean, the only extensions of line bundles on P2 are direct sums, because the extensions will live in H1 of a line bundle, and that vanishes by Kadira vanishing. And then V2 is actually the tangent bundle, really. It's the tangent bundle twisted by O minus 1. And then for r greater than or equal to 2, VR is indecomposable and stable. And so in particular, if I attach any Higgs field to this, that'll be a stable co-Higgs bundle. And so what I want to just say is that Schwarzenberger bundles come naturally with Higgs fields. Okay, so what you can do is pull back O1 to P1 cross P1, choose a section, and then use the section to multiply O0R to give it values in pi star of O1. Sorry. And you get maps over pre-images of open sets in P2. This is like a sheaf morphism. I can push it down, and I get this bundle morphism that takes VR to itself, but twisted by O1. So this is an O1 valued Higgs field. Okay, but what we wanted was tangent bundle valued things, so we need some way of doing that. Well, we don't have to look far. We have Euler's sequence, okay, just the sequence that resolves the tangent bundle on P2. I could twist this by, I'll say, trace-free endomorphisms of V, and I get this. And I can take the cohomology, okay? But then one of the nice things about stability is that this first space is 0, okay, because V is a stable bundle. And so what we have is an injective map that takes a triple of O1 valued Higgs fields to a T-valued Higgs field. And then the question is, when is phi wedge phi equal to 0? Okay, well, consider the Euler sequence locally. So the map J, so this is, I've just twisted the Euler sequence down by minus 1, and then just take this, what is this map J? It takes a point in C3 to this vector field in T minus 1. Okay, and then the twisted map on triples of Higgs fields takes a triple of O1 Higgs fields to this tangent bundle valued Higgs field, big phi. And then phi wedge phi equal to 0 is the same thing as this commuting, which is the same thing, so the same thing as this commuting, which is the same thing as the O1 valued Higgs fields commuting. And then if the O1 valued Higgs fields come from the cover, so come from sections SI, well, these things, so they'll commute if and only if the sections commute, but they're sections of line bundles, so they commute trivially. So when we do this via the pushdown construction, phi wedge phi equal to 0 comes for free. Okay, and so we can also think of them as decomposing. So if I think about it, if I start over and think about, okay, phi is an O1 valued Higgs field, and P is a point in C3, then that map in the Euler sequence sends this point to a vector field, a twisted vector field, and then really the phi you get is an O1 valued Higgs field twisted by the section of T minus 1 that you get. And so that's what I'll mean by a Schwarzenberger co-Higgs bundle, that it's a Schwarzenberger bundle with a Higgs field that decomposes tensorially in this way. Okay, so where does the spectral cover live? See, we wanted something that was in the total space of the tangent bundle. We started with P1 cross P1. We got O1 valued Higgs fields. And so morally, P1 cross P1 should be in the total space of O1. See, the key ingredient here is the branch conic. So if we work more generally, take X to be any smooth projective variety, and then pick a smooth divisor B in this variety, such that the line bundle associated to it is divisible by 2 in the Picard group, and then choose some square root. And by M, I mean OXB, sorry. Now we can construct a two-sheeted cover of X that lives in the total space of L in this way. So the equation, so Y is a vertical coordinate in L, and then we're looking at the at the subvariety picked out by the equation y squared is equal to s, where s is any section of L squared corresponding to the divisor we started with. So in the context of what we're doing, OB is O2, because the branch conic was the branch locus is a conic section, so it lives in O2, and our P1 cross P1 is in the square root of O2, which is the total space of O1. And then the characteristic polynomial is the equation y squared is equal to s. And so the Hitchin base, which is the space of characteristic polynomials, this is the space of conics. So this is, so the Hitchin base in this case really is sections of O2. And then the fiber, the Hitchin fiber, is the Jacobian of P1 cross P1, which is just the point 0r in z cross z. So the Hitchin map here is trivially proper. The fiber is just a point over every conic in the base. Okay, and this is compatible with the fact that obviously P1 cross P1 is a quadric by the Segre embedding in P3, and P3 is the total space of O1 on P2 minus a point. So this P1 cross P1 just misses this point in P3. Okay, and then how much choice is there in the O1 valued Higgs fields that we need to pick? So when R is greater than 3, actually none. There's only one up to scale. And so actually they were going to commute for even more trivial reasons, just the fact that there's only one of them. And now we can sort of make a good guess as to how big this family is. So we might say that for R greater than 3, these Schwarzenberger co-Higgs bundles come in an 8-dimensional family. Okay, 3 for the point in C3, and 5 for the branch conic, if we just think of it projectively, because we can sort of fix the scale. And then nothing for the phi i's, because at least for R greater than 3, as I said, it turns out that there's only one of them. And then actually, for all the r's, it's true that the tangent space to the moduli space of Schwarzenberger co-Higgs bundles is 8-dimensional. So even when it's not true that there's only a single choice of O1 valued Higgs field. Okay, and so, I mean, this is something that needs to be worked out algebraically. You take the spectral sequence for the deformation complex and actually have to work through everything, but it turns out that it's always 8. So there's an 8-dimensional family of these things. And just to tell you how bad the situation is, the H2 in the spectral sequence for every R is equal to 17. So I think as you start to leave this family, things get very bad. Okay, and so maybe I'll just say that I think this is sort of nice because, okay, you push down if you're just thinking about purely constructing the rank 2 vector bundle, I mean, Schwarzenberger's old paper, well, you're pushing down O0R, you get your rank 2 vector bundle on P2, but there's many choices of covering map that you can pick. There's many choices of branch conic. But the bundle is the same. So when you're changing the branch conic, what are you really changing? And the answer is you're changing the Higgs field. Okay. And then maybe I'll just end off by saying that, I mean, probably the big question is, well, there are lots of surfaces. So where are there other co-Higgs bundles? And the problem is that there are really none. I mean, you can prove that on a surface of general type. There are none on a K3. There are none. They're really something that is confined to the sort of rational end. So what does that say about generalized holomorphic bundles? It says that, they're really just holomorphic bundles, you know, in high genus or at the generic end of the Khadayar spectrum. And maybe this holds for other higher dimensional spaces. But the discrepancy then between generalized holomorphic bundles and holomorphic bundles is pronounced sort of at the lower end of the invariance of the spaces we're working with. And that's all I want to say.
Any questions or comments?
Can you clarify your last comment about how about the type of surfaces that admit these things?
Well, so what I know is that I have constructions of families of co-Higgs bundles on P2. not just this one. There's a higher rank construction as well that comes in a fairly large family. On ruled surfaces, I have some constructions. Other than that, I'm not quite sure what other kinds of families you can get. I mean, I know that moduli spaces exist. That's a theorem of Simpson. But whether they're non-empty or not is the other question. But I know, for instance, that on a surface of general type, there are no stable Cohegs bundles. And I know that on a K3 or anything birational to a K3, there are no stable Cohegs bundles. And that's sort of as precise as I can make it at the moment.
But you've only been considering things that are kind of algebraic.
I've only been considering things that are algebraic, yes. Yes. Compact, complex surfaces.
Yeah. Any more questions? Otherwise, let's thank Stefan again.